All right, everybody shut up. I said shut up. Now, are you ready to play the game?
No.
Are you ready to play the game?
Yeah.
The game.
Yeah.
Playing to survive. Aiming to win any way they can.
Yeah, yeah, pass the ball, final casting call. First of all, verbal basketball. Off the glass, smash your jaw, too fast for y'all. You might take a nasty fall, trying to stick with the prehistoric passenger.
Foul ball.
All rep, no physical contact. Bounce back, demonstrate, invincible bomb raps. Not no hustler, no player, or speaking no crime crap. I'm vocally trying to score before my time lapse.
Full court press, hands in your chest. Running cause I'm a rebel with the ghetto connects. No fouls, just checks.
Good evening, Pelicans Nation. Welcome to the Pelican Plunge on the Dome Patrol United network of podcasts. You are extremely lucky because you are getting another Pelican Plunge, would you believe it or not? Yes, we have doubled our season tally in just 1 week. 1 week, would you believe it? It's like the Pelicans are doing well. We want to talk about them. Who would have thought? Joining me as ever is season ticket holder and long-time suffering fan, Jason. Jason, welcome to the show. Given the time we're recording, you haven't got a number just yet.
Not quite. I'm still at the office. Probably not wise to drink today, even though tax deadline is quickly approaching. But yeah, I can't believe two shows in 1 week. This is kind of crazy. But hey, when your team makes the play-in game, it kind of gets us off our asses and gets us going. So
yeah, can you see the Smoothie King Center from your office window behind you?
I cannot. All I can see is the corner of the dome.
That's still not bad for you. Take that. And also joining us, and I'm going to try and get him to become a full-time regular on the show, because turns out quite knowledgeable. James Baker. James, how are you doing, sir?
I mean, turns out quite knowledgeable.
Well,
we
know you've got more knowledge than Scott already.
I've been to three Pelicans stroke Hornets game in my life, okay? Three I've been to. I know my shit,
and that's more than half the city of New Orleans, if you believe national media.
Well, as long as you exclude the Lakers and Warriors,
yeah. Shit on our listeners straight away. Great work.
No, I'm just saying that's if you believe the national media.
Yeah,
we're not national media. We're fan media. Just fans. Just
we're
idiots.
Not.
I was gonna say we're not really media.
No, not at all. We're just. What's that? What they call them over here? Fanzines. Is that what they used to call them over here?
Fanzies. Yeah, I wouldn't go call myself a fanzy.
No, fanzines. Like fanzines.
Yeah, it's a fan magazine is basically.
Okay.
But it's like for podcasting, fans just make magazines themselves.
Yeah. What we actually are is a podcast. Let's just go with that.
We're a bit of a share of shit to the start of the show. But unlike the Pelicans, who are getting ready to play one of the biggest games in their history at the Smoothie King Center against the San Antonio Spurs in the play-in game. Obviously, winner advanced to play against the loser of the Timberwolves and the Clippers. And I'm not going to lie, I have been waiting for this game for a very long time. Since we've kind of known that we're going to make this play-in, and it just been kind of counting down, watching the games go by. I know, you know, we lost against Golden State and stuff, but okay, we're just resting players this time, just focusing on this game coming up.
Jackson Hayes was the only one, the only starter who played significant minutes in that game against Golden State, or did Herb play a bit as well?
No, Herb didn't play at all. CJ started, but once he left the game in the first quarter, he didn't come back. So it was rest a lot of guys. And yeah, if there's any, you know, the slight, you know, nicked up or anything, just sit him out. So it was weird because it was a great environment, the big tailgate, you know, a lot of tailgate parties and out front the arena, they had a band, they had a lot of stuff going on, and the game didn't really mean anything. So it's like everybody was excited getting in there, and then you realize, you know, the Warriors are probably going to win, and, you know, a good number of Warrior fans there, which kind of pisses me off, just like the Laker fans. But it did kind of suck because everybody was all excited, and then the game just didn't matter. But obviously, tomorrow is going to matter, and I'm excited for everything that's going to go on around the dome. I mean, they said, I mean, the arena, they said there's going to be a, like a band playing. They're supposed to start at 6:30 pending the weather, because the weather looks kind of dicey tomorrow. So that's going to kind of suck. If we finally have a play-in game, we have all this stuff set up and the rain kind of forces everybody inside. But, you know, there's a lot of excitement going around. The game should be sold out, as all, you know, postseason games should. So I'm not too nervous yet, but I really haven't kind of thought about it. But I'm sure tomorrow I'm going to be I'm going to be nervous all day, because the Spurs, even though they don't have a great roster necessarily, I mean, they do have a few good players, but they have Popovich, and you hate going up against Popovich because he's by far the best coach in the league.
We lost a series to him in the regular season, obviously, but one of those games we didn't have CJ in the team yet. Another one of those games, BI was missing. So can you take much from those games going into this one, do you think? Or
I think you take enough, but at the end of the day, a fully healthy Pelicans team definitely has more firepower than they do. So on the talent side, the Pelicans should have more, and it shouldn't be that difficult. The key is stopping DeJounte Murray. He's turned into a really, really good player for the Spurs. I think he had like 16 or 17 triple doubles this year.
I've got two words for him. Herb Jones.
Should be three, not on Herb.
Not on Herb, yeah. That is the thing. Also, James, do you think the playoff experience that obviously Pop's got over Willie Green, obviously being a rookie head coach, think that is a big factor going into this game as well? Or do you think the team are talented enough and Willie Green is big enough for this occasion already?
So the team, the starting five and the bench is probably better, like Jason said, more firepower. I think we've probably got a bit more depth coming off the bench as well. I don't necessarily buy the lack of experience for Willie Green either. You know, he's
as a head coach,
yes, he's never done it before, yeah. But you know, he's been involved with some teams that have had some fairly deep playoff runs in the past. But like Jason said, you know, Popovich is probably the best coach in the NBA and has been for quite some time. He just, you know, he's going to have the game plan that's going to keep the Spurs in it. And, you know, the Pels aren't going to blow the Spurs. I can't see the Pels. What are they favored by? Five at the moment? Is it five?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be close. But you just have to hope that the Pelicans' quality shines through with CJ and hopefully a fit BI. I was reading before we started recording that he practiced fully today, and they want to see how he reacts to having a full practice overnight.
Let's see how BI comes back from injuries, because sometimes when he's come out from injuries, he's come out the gates quite slow. And the Pelicans, oh, this is not serious. This is an old-fashioned sort of English game. You know, win, loser goes. Yeah, one off, loser goes home. So we really do need BI to come out the gates, you know, come out the gates swinging. And fingers crossed that we can get over the line and move on to the next round, because I think also having the home court advantage is massive. I think there's nothing like New Orleans sports in the playoffs. Like, obviously, we've seen what the Saints have been like in the last couple of years, how amazing home atmospheres have been. Maybe the team's not lived up to it, but the atmospheres have been very, very good. And just going back a couple of years ago, when we swept the Portland, just like how good that atmosphere was inside that dome. And the only other time I can remember the atmosphere being like that was Zion's debut. And I think we're going to see that sort of level of atmosphere in the Smoothie King Center tomorrow night.
And that's a good thing. Even if, you know, let's say they win tomorrow and lose to the, you know, the Clippers, I guess, at least getting a taste of this and getting a taste of the playoffs atmosphere in the arena, because you're right. I mean, the 2018 playoffs, we had a great atmosphere, even back with the Hornets and Chris Paul, those first few playoff runs. I mean, maybe every arena is like that in the playoffs, because it's, you know, obviously everything really matters, but the games were sold out. The crowd was really into it. I mean, it was a great, great atmosphere. So I'm happy to see that again. And it's going to be big for a lot of these guys who don't have any postseason experience. Brandon Ingram's never played in the postseason. obviously all the rookies, all the young players. I mean, I guess Valanciunas and CJ.
CJ has with Portland. Yeah.
So that's gonna it's gonna be really big. Obviously, he's gonna be a big presence. There was a good article in The Athletic from Will Guillory today about CJ and why he wanted to come down here and what he hoped to accomplish here. And it was a really great read. I definitely recommend it for all of you out there.
Spoiler alert, he says something along the lines of, I'm going to leave this place a very better different. I'm going to leave this city and this franchise in a better state than when I found it. You know, that's what you want to hear, isn't it? You know, we talked about it on the last show about how he's bought into the city. And, you know, I don't think you can underestimate how important that is.
It's huge because you haven't had a lot of guys do that lately.
No, especially not Pelican players, like Saints players, but Pelican players, not really. And I think the city is really coming alive with basketball. The fans are really beginning to wake up with this team. Well, it's great to see. And I think having the college games, the national championship games in the dome, I think really helped as well. Just a bit of basketball energy, spark of energy of basketball going around the city is just, it's fantastic. And I know you guys touched on it last week, but I wasn't going to say, but the similarities of Willie Green coming in when this franchise was at its lowest, like Peyton did with the Saints, and then having the draft class he's just had, like Peyton had with the 06 draft class, could really set this team up. And that's how you make breaks in major sports league. You get the right guy, the culture-changing bloke, and then you get the draft class as well. Because one thing that pisses me off with the NBA is a lot of teams recently have won it by splash trades, you know, forming mega teams, and
the Rams just won the Super Bowl.
But I like the fairy tale of building a draft, you know, building a team for a draft like Milwaukee did, and just adding a few key pieces here and there to it. And that's really what I hope Willie Green is building here. And I've got to ask you a question, Jason. Last time we recorded, David Griffin was in the naughty pen. Has he found his way out of there yet, or are you on the fence with him? He needs to back up another good off season.
I'm not on the fence with him. I mean, the moves that we've made have clearly panned out. The Lakers trade, even though the Lakers did get a title, it's a Mickey Mouse title, is what it is. But I'm sure if we won it, we'd be celebrating as a title, but you know, adding some of those extra picks or pick swaps, it was genius on his part. Now, there is one thing he's striding over the fence. He's not fully over it. The whole situation with the team in Zion, that's the one thing that just has to get worked out. And I do have hope that it will, especially because, look, Zion can see after last year, after the disaster that was Van Gundy, things needed to change, and they have. And
we sat here when they hired Van Gundy and said, no, this is the wrong move. And a lot of fans saw it was the wrong move at the time, saying, we don't want a retread. We want a young upcoming bloke. You know, we just really want that young upcoming guy who the sky's the limit with. And that is exactly what we have found.
That's what it did. And he rectified his mistake. You know, he got rid of Steven Adams and Bledsoe. And yeah, he had to toss in a number one pick to do it, but who cares? I mean, we've
got. Do you know what? That is a very underrated move. A lot of people wouldn't have the balls just to rip it up after 1 year. Getting rid of Van Gundy, getting rid of Bledsoe and Adams. Like I said, a lot of people would have just said, oh, do you know what? We'll just try one more year. But he knew if it panned out the same way, he would have been gone as well. Because Mrs. B wants to win with this team. You know, Tom Benson won with the Saints, didn't win with the Pelicans. And I think she's a real committed owner to try and actually win with this team.
Yeah, and it is good to see they're actually building it the right way. They're not trying to rush it like they did with Davis. You know, they tried to rush it quickly by signing, not building through the draft, signing the veterans, you know, trading for Holiday, signing Tariq Evans.
Boogie.
Which, you know, I mean, the Holiday move was good, but the other ones just didn't work out. But you tried to rush it, and it just wasn't built the right way. It just wasn't going to work. Hiring Alvin Gentry also wasn't going to make it work, but – But yeah, look, all the pieces are in place, really. All the pieces are in place to really go on a strong run over a while. We just need the big guy.
Just need the big guy to come in.
And I do wonder, so I don't think he's not going to play tomorrow. Even if they win and go to the next play-in, I don't think he'd play. But if they made it to play the Suns,
and they had, I think so,
a handful of games, I mean, could you just see, even if it's just 4 or 5 minutes off the bench?
Because that's another week and a half until that game would be.
I think the first round of the regular playoffs starts this weekend. Now, it may be Saturday, Sunday, so maybe the play-in teams get an extra day or two, but it's got to be either Sunday or early next week would be when it starts. So, I mean, he would have another week, and they're ramping him up. He's practicing. And, I mean, at this point, why not? Like, just toss him in with the bench mob for a few minutes each quarter just to throw him out there. And, I mean, is he really going to re-injure himself that much if he plays 4 minutes a quarter?
No. Yeah. It's a tough one, isn't it? Because if they get through the play-in, they're going to play Phoenix, who had the best record in the NBA this year. Was it 63 wins, 62 wins?
It was a lot.
Yeah. You know, I mean, 60 wins used to be unheard of until the Bulls, and then the Warriors came along, didn't it? But 60 wins is a sign of a very, very, very good basketball team. So look, should the Pelicans go? I mean, saying that, when we played the last time we played the Suns, absolutely blew them out. But
well, that was in Phoenix. They did come back and beat us here, but I think we were missing Ingram for sure.
Yeah, B.I. was in that game. I think Valanciunas was as well, if I remember rightly.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Phoenix won 64 games. They had the best record in the league.
Mm. Look, if you're in New Orleans, and I'm currently looking on SeatGeek now, wishing I could be there, because you could pick up some good deals actually on there. You know, you can get in the upper, you know, the upper bowl. You can probably quite decent half court tickets in the upper bowl. Okay, you're quite far back, row 15.
How much?
You can get it $30 each.
I mean, for a postseason game.
Come on, get down.
You wouldn't get a Saints playoff ticket for $30, would you?
Fuck no. and you know, that's something I know, regardless of win or lose, it's good to get him the experience, but man, it would be nice to win tomorrow and then win again, so you can get those extra couple of games in the playoffs to get the fan, you know, to get more fans behind them, knowing they're in the playoffs. And
would it be a guarantee? So the first round of the playoffs, is it still five or is it out to seven now?
I think it's still seven.
Is it? So you'd be guaranteed two home games.
Well, even if it's five, you're guaranteed two home games. But I'm pretty sure it's still seven. I know there was talk about maybe reducing it to five, but I'm pretty sure it's still seven. Just goes to show you, I haven't needed to know, because we haven't been in the playoffs in a while.
Yeah, how does it feel as a season ticket holder having to pay for playoff tickets? I bet it feels nice.
I mean, when I get the bill, but it's always worth it. It's always going to be worth it.
Yeah, 100%. Like, and you know, you've got inside contacts with the Pelicans organization. How are they doing full season tickets for next year? Do you know?
I haven't asked. I know I renewed. I mean, I do think this late push has kind of helped. You know, the arenas, the last few games, you've definitely noticed an uptick in people there. I think people see what kind of team this is, and it's a likable team, it's an enjoyable team to watch. There's a lot of optimism here, and man, just throw Zion into the mix, I think people would just go insane.
Is there any demographic of fans you're seeing coming through the doors at the moment? Because obviously we're not there to experience it ourselves, because we're miles away, but have you noticed that all this, since his upturn forms, a new demographic of fans, younger fans are coming in, or is it some of the same old faces that are just coming back?
I mean, I mean, there are a lot of younger people, but there's still a lot of older people too. You know, the people that have been around since they've been here and kind of stuck with them through all the lean times. I mean, I don't notice that much of a difference yet. You know, when Zion first came in, there was a little difference then, but that's kind of waned since he hadn't really played as much. And then COVID last year kind of knocked things for a loop. But But now you also don't have the vaccine mandate. So maybe people that wouldn't come, you know, who aren't vaccinated wouldn't come before. And maybe now they're willing to come in here. So so we'll see. I am excited. You know, they're doing stuff for the ticket holders tomorrow. So I'm going to get two free Red Bull and vodkas before the game. The season tokens, you can get two beers or two Red Bull cocktails. And the beer is the Faubourg beer, the former Dixie beer. And it's shit. So.
Get the cocktails in, yeah.
So I'm going to have two of those and possibly a third because Renee just gets a water. So unless she gets two drinks, I'm going to have a third one.
Did you get the T-shirt on Sunday?
I did.
You did?
I've gotten so many T-shirts over the last 2 weeks. It's like, I don't need any more shirts. They're going to give out another shirt tomorrow. They want everybody to wear red tomorrow.
Well, so if you're looking at spare shirts, you know where to send them. Well,
the Pels are not wearing red, though.
No, they're wearing the city jerseys,
aren't they? Which they've got a winning record in this year, I think.
Yes. It's definitely one of their cleanest jersey. I like it. So.
And will there be many Spurs fans in the arena? Do you expect? Or
I think there'll be
a local team.
I think there'll be a handful. There's usually a few Spurs fans there. I mean, in today's day and age in the NBA, there's always going to be road fans there. More some teams than others, but there'll be a handful, but it's going to be mostly Pelicans fans.
Excellent. And back to the game quickly. What do you think are the key things the Saints from podcast?
Oh my God.
I sound like Jeff. God damn it. What are the key things for the Pels to win this game? What do you think they need to do well to win this game?
Well, in the last game against the Spurs that I went to, their defense had trouble keeping up, you know, sticking, you know, having good switches and sticking with the pick and roll. They always set some guy in a corner who was wide open, and they just made a bunch of threes, wide open threes from the corner. So on defense, I would say that. And then on offense, man, we just got to make shots. There's some games we can't hit. It's amazing how bad the Pelicans are at making 3-point shots, even after getting CJ. And we can't have them come out and start off like 0-for-5 from three or whatever, because that's got disaster written all over it.
Do you bring Devontae Graham back in or not?
I mean, he's going to get minutes off the bench. I would still bring in Alvarado over Graham now, but
yeah.
You start in five.
Picks itself,
doesn't it? Right. It's Valanciunas, Hayes, Herb, CJ, BI.
Yeah.
That's starting five.
I think I remember you guys touching on this, but the improvement from Hayes since he moved into the five is just ridiculous. Like,
yeah, it's
he looks liberated. He looks liberated, and I think you've really got to just let him, especially in this game come up, just really let him stretch his legs and run at players and be direct. I think that's where you've got to get him.
Well, I mean, plus now he's stepping back and making threes. You know, it's expanding his game, but it also requires a defender to come out. You know, I mean, the one thing he still needs to learn some post moves. He doesn't really have a lot of moves once he gets in the paint, other than using his athleticism. So that's something he's still got to learn. But yeah, he's
not the strongest 6'10" power forward you've ever seen in your life, is he?
Not really.
You know, he does look like Sideshow Bob. Let's not beat around the bush.
But again, he's still just 21.
He was 18 when we drafted him.
Yeah.
7th overall pick, wasn't he? 7th overall?
He was the 10th pick.
10th.
He was the 10th pick.
So is he up for a contract this? He was the same draft as Zion, wasn't he?
He was. So, I mean, obviously they're not going to offer him a max. We may offer him an extension, but he'd be wise not to take it. I mean, just if he expects to get better again, his price is going to go up. I mean, we will have to offer him something fairly substantial next year.
He's definitely worth keeping, though.
Oh, 100%. I definitely want to keep him. Yep.
Mm. But once again, once the big man comes back in, he slides.
Yeah, but then you have him coming off the bench.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You know, because that would be the person to drop out of the lineup if Zion comes back, wouldn't it? It would be Jackson Hayes that drops.
Yeah.
But it would be interesting, though, you know, and we're jumping ahead a little bit here, but when Zion does come back, if they make him point again, because that worked.
It did. Plus, you have to factor in, well, how is because, you know, Valanciunas plays a lot in the paint, even though he can come outside and make a three. But how do they play together? That's obviously one of the bigger questions, because Valanciunas has done really well for us this year.
Yeah.
I mean, massive improvement over Steven Adams from last year.
We've never seen
to have been hard.
No. But Adam Steven Adams had a great year for Memphis, though. So
yeah, one of the
sometimes it's a fit. It's just
one of the rare trades that worked out for both teams.
Yeah. But we haven't, so about Zion, is he gonna be back to point guard? We haven't seen Willie Green and what's Willie Green's envision for Zion ever yet. That's the exciting thing to come as well. We've seen him with Van Gundy, we've seen him with Gentry, we still haven't seen him with the best coach he's probably had in his NBA career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's going to be a lot of intrigue for whenever it happens, a lot of anticipation for that, for his return, whatever it may be.
Do you think he's going to play this year at all? Or do you think they've literally just said, no, we're okay, we're happy with what we've gone so far. If we go into the playoffs, great, get the experience. But you're staying there until next season, and then we're going to unleash you on the league.
I think that's what Griff wants to do. I don't necessarily agree with it. I'd rather throw him out there. Because one thing, too, if you don't play him at all this season, you could tell Zion, after his dad had that interview, Zion really, really, really wants to play, and he thinks he's healthy. Now, you do have to protect athletes from themselves sometimes. So even though he feels like he's healthy, the doctors want to make sure everything's right, even though our doctors don't have the best history of a
Hi, everybody.
but he wants to play. If you don't play him this year, are there any issues going forward with him being pissed off at the organization for not letting him play? Or if you're an organization, just say, you know what, too bad.
Look, I think if they weren't prepared to play him, I think they would have already shut him down. He wouldn't be training with the team at this stage.
Yeah, they said he was out indefinitely, not that he was out for the season.
At this stage, certain players just walk away from their teams and shut themselves down. No names mentioned there.
So Jason, how would it work if... It's not like the IR, is it, in the NFL? So if they wanted Zion to play tomorrow night, would they have to activate him?
No, but they give the status. So you either say out or you go doubtful, questionable, probable.
Right, so that's still right.
But I was joking with somebody yesterday. It'd be hilarious. Like, what if all of a sudden tomorrow on the...
Questionable.
Even just doubtful. Because even doubtful means, he's not playing, but he could.
What was
it means, it means the Spurs would probably... He was just out for the Warriors game.
Yeah.
But if you're the Spurs and you see that, you have to plan for it.
Somewhat, yeah. Even if he doesn't play. That's why I'm just list him as doubtful.
Throw it out.
Yeah, just list him as doubtful and see what happens. Because then, even if you're planning on surprising everybody and playing him in a future game, the second you put him as not listed as definitely out, then everybody's going to be like, oh, what's going on here? But if you start putting him as doubtful now and you just sit him out, maybe have some element of surprise.
Could you imagine Pelicans Twitter if that was to pop out tomorrow morning? Zion Williamson, doubtful.
Right?
How early before tip-off does that come out?
I don't know how long it's got to be. I just know it has to be out like at least a few hours before game time, but I don't know the specific rules on that.
But no. Definitely, if you're listening to this and you haven't got a ticket for the game and you're in the city, look, go on SeatGeek. You can get some good tickets for a reasonable price. And yeah, go and watch what's going to be an incredible atmosphere, an incredible game, I think. Obviously, you got the legend of Greg Popovich against the new guy on the block, Willie Green. And then you've got this exciting young team that is just a lovable team. That's what you want with your sports teams. You want to have players that you can love. And that's what we've got with these Pelicans now. So you really want to get behind them and fingers crossed we can win and then go and play Minnesota or LA Clippers, not the Lakers.
Think it'll be the Timberwolves? Timberwolves will win that?
I think the Clippers will.
I mean, the Clippers have been playing well lately. They have more experience than Timberwolves, but I don't know. I think being in Minnesota, I think the Timberwolves are going to win, and then it would be a really tough matchup because the Clippers came here and whooped us pretty good like a week.
Either way, it'd be a tough matchup.
But anybody listening who's thinking about it or not going, go support this team. They deserve it. They deserve to have a full arena. They deserve to have us behind them. And I just think really great things are ahead. Finally, you know, sustained success that they've talked about for a long time is finally in the process of happening.
The franchise is in good hands. It's in very good hands. And before we end, we might as well, as it happened just the weekend gone, Jason, do you want to talk a little bit, Masters?
I'd have enjoyed it more if Scheffler didn't take the air out of the balloon by Friday. And
yeah, you didn't get too much. You got a little bit of excitement on the first two holes where Cameron Smith started red hot. And then suddenly, as soon as Scheffler made that chip at the
third. And he chips it, right. And it's just like, come on. Well, that's when you
do it. And you're just like, that's your Masters moment. That's yeah.
And then number 12 claimed another victim in Smith. I mean,
but the
one good thing, so we got the Zurich down here next week.
You got a lot of good players.
We have 10 of the top 15 players in the world are playing next week, including Scheffler.
Are you coming down?
I am going on Friday for sure. Don't know about the weekend yet.
How much tickets they're saying for that?
I think it's, $30 or $40, but a buddy of mine they have these Taste of the Zurich, which you can go to a lot of different stations and little tents with different food and drinks. So he managed to snag a couple of those for us. So I'm going to use that.
Oh, nice. That'd be good.
We usually always go on a Friday so we can catch all the teams before the cut. So, but yeah, a really, really, really strong field this year.
Yeah, it was, I'd love sitting there watching. The time for us over here, it can get quite a late evening, but like I say, the leaders go off over here about 7 o'clock in the evening. Okay. So it's a bit of a long night, but it's just great. It's Sunday evening sitting down watching that.
I still remember years ago going to the Zurich and seeing Byron Scott the day after we got blown out by the Nuggets by like 50 something points in the playoffs, and I'm like, dude, what are you doing here?
Athletes have lies too, but
no, by the way, if Sean Payton's there and you see him, can you tell him I told him he's a quitter?
I will.
but back to the Masters quickly. Quick question: is McIlroy back now after that final round? Is that giving him the spark? I think Butch Harmon turned around and said he reckons McIlroy will win a major this year.
I mean, I don't know, maybe, but it does seem like he plays great when he knows he can't win. He just can't get off to a good start. I mean,
but that was a heck of a final round. It was sensational.
It was amazing. It was great.
Just a shame his other three were out of dog shit.
Right.
I think Rory wins at St Andrews.
We'll see.
Don't know.
We'll see.
Don't know.
What day is that? July sometime, isn't it?
Yeah, July.
July. Oh, that's a fantastic. Oh, love St. Andrews. But yeah, we will see. I was going to do a bit of research, but we'll talk about this off there because people don't want to listen to us plan our London trip and a bit of Lynx golf over here. So,
no, look, we can talk about that during the draft live show. Yeah. We're going to have 5 hours. So
we can do a Dome Patrol Society day. Oh god! Right. So, has anyone got anything else they want to add before we?
One final thing from me.
Go on.
Right, Jason, you may remember this from the NFC title game. Whenever Manny Fresh and Juvie do halftime entertainment, the home team lose. Right, they did in the NFC title game, and they did on Sunday.
Damn it! Yes.
We love Manny Fresh and we love Juvie. Do not have them perform at halftime in any New Orleans sports event ever again.
If they want to do pregame, they can do pregame. They just
do pregame. Just don't do halftime anymore. Right. That's my only thought.
That's a problem.
Ben probably doesn't have a clue who Manny Fresh and Juvie are. Educate yourself on New Orleans rap.
Yeah, Ben.
Okay, I'm not the biggest rap fan, but all right, we'll.
Hot Boys, Cash Money, but yeah, Manny Fresh, Juvie, yeah, good shit.
No way, okay. Yeah. Anyway, yep. That's for the Dome Patrol Rap Podcast.
coming soon, hosted by the two of the whitest blokes you ever know. Right, okay, so that's all for tonight. So I want to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling your friends about the Dome Patrol United Network, where you have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show. Should we do one after the, well, not straight after, but the day after the Spurs game? Should we arrange that now?
I mean, whether it's that or a plunge, I mean, I don't know, I'm going to be tired.
Yeah, I'm doing a plunge, an instant reaction plunge, yeah.
Yeah, if the season keeps going, we'll have to do it.
Exactly. We're on a roll now. Why not stop? Why stop here? The Dome Patrol main show, obviously.
Season could end tomorrow.
It could end tomorrow.
Sorry, Ben, you carry on.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you're listening to the Pelican Plunge. You've also got the Tigers Den, what that guy, I can't remember his name. What's his name? It hosts, but yeah.
Wesley.
Wesley, that's the one. Wesley Carman hosts that one. So make sure you follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast and at Dome Patrol UK. You can also follow us on Facebook to watch live streams. And there's a very, very good live stream episode coming up soon on the night of the NFL draft, where we watch the Saints take an undersized defensive end from a Division 2 school in the first round. Actually, no, they'll trade up for him and lose one of their other first round draft picks just to send Jason over the edge. So make sure you catch that. Also, when the season starts again, you can join in with the game day chat on our Discord server. That is for free. Yes, our podcast is not here to make money. It's just to simply entertain you and give us an evening off without our wives moaning at us. So once again, you can join that Discord chat for free. And you can always listen to the old-fashioned way. Go to Dome Patrol Podcast.
Dad, count.
Say goodbye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, regular season donkeys.